Welcome to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil, the official Monster Jam podcast. I'm Scott Jordan, and this week we are calling this one the man of many hats because my guest has done everything from being a diecast collector to spin master ambassador to fan of the sport to production stage manager to competition manager. He's done it all, and it's my pleasure right now to go to Redondo Beach, California on the Great Clips hotline to welcome in that man of many hats, Ryan Albin, to the show. Ryan, welcome to Inside Monster Jam. How you doing?
Doing great, Scott. You know, it's always great to sit down and chat with you, but this particular opportunity is one of my favorites so far. I got to say, I'm so excited to be here, and it's such an honor. And I just want to thank you, Feld Entertainment, and Monster Jam for the great time we're going to have here today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You and I started talking about this when we worked together in Hamilton, Ontario last year. Just had a conversation about maybe getting you on, and I thought your story is one that should be told because a lot of fans of Monster Jam out there start off in different platforms, whether it's going to an event, whether it's seeing it on TV. You have a different story in that you got a Monster Jam diecast truck as a toy when you were a kid, and that's where it started for you. So let's go back there, talk about that first day you got a Monster Jam toy and how that developed into a passion for you.
So that takes us all the way back to 2006. So I was 6 years old. It was my birthday. My dad's friend bought a giant Gravedigger Monster Jam truck, and it had all these lights and sounds. It had a little skeleton driver inside. I don't even remember what it's called, to be honest with you. All I know is Gravedigger. And before this, I had never known Monster Jam was. My family had no idea what it was. And that prompted my parents to look into tickets for, I think they were seeing commercials or something like that, for Anaheim, which is only 40 minutes away from me. It's like, I still consider that my hometown show or event. And we went out there in 2007, January, and I loved the live event, but what I loved more was the diecast trucks because they bought me my first two that day. And it spiraled into this madness of collecting everything we could possibly get our hands on because everything at that time was new to us. So whether it was me and my mom or me and my dad, we would go out to Target and just keep collecting. And eventually, I started to notice the variations in all the differences in the trucks they were releasing year by year. And that led to my parents calling me OCD, which I do actually have OCD, despite people thinking I don't. And they would just keep calling me that. So eventually, it just became your Monster Jam OCD. And I took over my mom's YouTube, or I should say my dad took my mom's YouTube channel from her. And we hid the home videos and renamed the channel Monster Jam OCD. And eventually down the line, which we'll get to, I took it over and it became what it is today. But my love for this sport started, I think that's over 15 years ago now or something like that. Crazy to think it's been this much of my life, but it started a long time ago and it continues on to this day and hopefully long into the future.
So were you the kid that didn't take the trucks out of the package? Did you keep them wrapped up there for collector's purposes or did you take them out to play with them?
Actually, I am one of few who I would say has opened everything, regardless of how expensive they may be nowadays. I opened every single one. I always like to display them. I never really played with them. I just kind of like to display them all in particular collection fashion, I guess you would say, in their teams or in variation order, in year release order. So to me, that was the more exciting piece is that, you know, I had a spot empty for each variation I knew I was missing, and filling those spots as time went along was really the excitement of it all. And we eventually completed that that part of the collecting era back in 2018. I think we still have over, I think it's 1,200 variations of trucks or Monster Jam trucks in our collection.
That's what you have. You have 1,200 trucks in your collection right now.
Nowadays, after or during this brand ambassadorship that we'll get to, probably well over 2,000. Wow, that's crazy. I don't have much room in my office. This is literally my own space to work.
Now, when I was a kid, we didn't have Monster Jam diecast. I collected Star Wars toys. And if it's one thing I could, if I had a 1984 DeLorean, I could go back in time and talk to my child self, I would tell myself not to take them out of the box, out of the package, because the market is crazy. I'd also tell my mom not to sell them for 25 cents a piece at a yard sale when I went off to college. I hope she's watching because I'll stay on that one. But the value for these things is insane. And talk about, obviously, when you're a kid, you're not collecting it for value. You're collecting it as a fan and as a passion. But the value for these trucks has grown exponentially. How has that come to pass now with Spin Master and these trucks being such a monetary thing?
Yeah, you know, I never placed value on any of these things. Now, my dad would beg to differ since he's the one buying them from eBay for up to $100 or whatever it was for Christmas gifts, and I'm ripping them out of the package in 1 second. But for me, it was always the memory. of collecting with my parents, collecting even with my grandparents, and watching it evolve into what my YouTube channel and my life essentially became, from such a simple, you know, minuscule piece of Monster Jam, you know, merchandise in a sense. In that sense, you know, you think of RCs like Bari Musaur. Those are bigger. They do more things. But the diecast, you know, they have a purpose, and they're a great purpose. But you know, you never thought it would spiral into what it became, and how the life of, you know, Monster Jam OCD, you know, evolved. But as far as the monetary value, they do gain value. They go up and down. And I would say the pandemic had a lot to do with the value kind of crashing for a while, but eventually that'll bounce back for the older stuff. As you know, markets fluctuate on all sorts of collectibles, and what's in now won't be in, you know, next year. What's in next year won't be in, you know, in the next 2 years. So it'll go up and down. But that's the cool part about it for those who collect for value, you know, especially. But for me, my collection is, it's about the memory. It's priceless to me and my family.
You take your mom's YouTube channel away from her, it catches the attention of Spin Master, and we're going to talk about that after the break. More with Ryan Albin is next on Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm Scott Jordan. This week, I'm joined on the Great Clips Hotline by Monster Jam production stage manager and Spin Master ambassador Ryan Albin. So, Ryan, we just talked about your YouTube channel, the Monster Jam OCD. It catches the attention of Spin Master. And back in January 1st of 2019, the Monster Jam Spin Master partnership officially starts. But prior to that, you become a target on Spin Master's radar. How did that conversation start, and how did that lead to you becoming an ambassador for them?
Yeah, this one kind of came out of the sky. You know, it just dropped out of nowhere. Back in 2018, a lot was changing. I was graduating high school. I just turned 18. Honestly, I was getting ready to retire from doing what I did on my YouTube channel, which, you know, I think, for most people, retirement is not, said in that kind of fashion, but for me, it was kind of, you know, I'm moving forward from, what I was doing. And then I get a direct message on Instagram a couple days after my birthday from Spin Master themselves, which kind of shocked me because I had no idea what they were going to say. So I opened it up, and it was actually an opportunity to potentially interview for the brand influencer spot, since they saw that I have a YouTube channel and it had a lot of traction with the community and fans. We talked on email, and then we actually set something up, and I met the team. And when I met the team that I still work with today, the synergy between our, you know, myself and them, and then also between themselves, and the dedication and passion they had to do, you know, make things that the fans wanted and make them correct and do anything to make the most elite version of Monster Jam diecast. That's what kind of it gravitated me towards them. And ever since then, I haven't left their side, and we still work together as much as I try now on the road to make sure that each year something exciting comes out for at least the dedicated collector base fans, and their suggestions get heard. We have a PowerPoint that I update every year that's literally 500 slides long of trucks from the past and the future ideas and stuff. So we work as, you know, as closely as possible. But over the last 6 years, which is crazy to think it's gone that fast, 6 years, I have learned a lot. So I would just want to thank Spin Master from the bottom of my heart for all the opportunities that we've done, not limited to what we'll discuss in a moment with my own truck, but all the great diecasts that come out every year and the dedication and passion that still stands to this day.
Yeah, being an influencer is a real deal, because I know that you're getting all the trucks before they come out so you can show them on YouTube and get fan interest up. You got on my radar because my kids love the Monster Jam Minis, and we stumbled on your YouTube channel with the Monster Jam Minis and the unboxing, and it worked, man, because that day after my 8-year-old watched your videos, we went to Target and bought everyone we could find. So thank you for costing me some money that day, because it's a real deal. So let's talk about your role as an ambassador. So besides, you know, being out there with fan engagement, getting them interested and previewing the trucks, what does that entail? And I know that you're busy with Monster Jam these days as well, but what do you do specifically for Spin Master now? What's the day-to-day operations for you?
So I still will filter through all of the social media collector pages, which, you know, you're a part of. So, you know, all the different pages that exist out there, whether it be Facebook or not so much on Instagram, but I do look through Instagram feedbacks and my YouTube channel and other YouTube channels. So I'm always looking for great ideas. looking for, you know, criticism in the sense that we can make this better. And I'll filter that into, or translate that into a way of saying it, maybe in a nicer way sometimes, but I will always be out there watching as much as I can. Oftentimes when I'm traveling now for Monster Jam, screenshotting, writing them down, even uploading to our PowerPoint. So I still do that for them. Not so in the capacity that I was doing in the earlier years. That was kind of my dedicated role. Now that I split it with the live event side of things, you know, the live event side of things takes precedence over not so much in the sense that it's more important, but it takes more time in my day than it does with Spin Master. So I still do that. Maybe later in the night, I'll come on to Facebook. I'll be like, oh, that's a good idea. Or, oh, maybe we could fix that. But that's pretty much, you know, the life of the brand ambassador in the sense of suggestion and fan interaction. But on YouTube, it still stands as much as I can find time to do so, looking at those reviews for things that they have never seen before. So it's always exciting to release, especially just the standard 1/64 scale single packs releases. Those are always my favorite because sometimes I won't ever reveal what the full case is until I post on YouTube. So people are always looking at the thumbnails and like taking screenshots and stuff and tagging me when my videos premiere on YouTube. So it's pretty cool. But we do actually have nowadays two brand ambassadors, myself and Drilly Nez on Instagram. And we kind of split the duty up in a sense. So it takes a little bit less of my time and also takes a little bit less of their time, but we still cover the base of what we're supposed to be doing for, or what we're hired to do by Spin Master.
I know fan engagement is very important. You're always getting tagged on the Facebook page. Every time there's a Spin Master question, it's tag Ryan Albin. I know you take fan suggestions seriously. I have a suggestion for you. How about an announcer themed Spin Master diecast, a Scott Jordan Spin Master diecast, one of a kind. Let's make it happen. I'm relying on you. Tag Ryan Albin. More with Ryan coming up next on Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. This week, I'm joined by Ryan Albin, ambassador for Spin Master, as well as Monster Jam production stage manager. We've been talking about your role as an ambassador with Spin Master. That led to the creation of your very own diecast truck, OCD Meltdown. That was released April 16th of 2021. So you have to tell me how the heck this kid who collects trucks is able to convince a mega company like Spin Master to put your drawings to real life and make it into a diecast toy.
You know what? It actually had nothing to do with me at all.
All right. Interesting.
I'm being very honest. I had nothing to do, and I'm being honest here. I had nothing to do with it. Out of nowhere, you actually interviewed her once before. My boss at Spin Master, Veronica, called me, and it was just a chit chat. You know, we kind of did that. We did that back then weekly about different things going on, or biweekly. And she called me. It was just a normal chat. And at the end there, she tossed in the last little tidbit. She goes, oh, by the way, you're going to get a call from FCP, you know, Fell Consumer Products manager, and they're going to make a truck for you. And that, you know, that's a lot to drop on someone out of nowhere. So I was just asking like, what do you mean? And, you know, we kept moving on with it, but I eventually got that call and it was true. What they saw was on my live streams, we had Spin Master joining. We had some people from Feld side of things joining, and they were seeing my fans asking when I'm going to get a diecast truck made of my, you know, my brand OCD, yeah. I guess you would call it. And so they told me, yeah, you design it, you name it, we'll produce it. It's going to be 5,000 units produced. Whatever you want it to be, obviously within the realm of realism and it being actually, you know, able to be produced, and it just can't be on a Gravedigger body. And that was it. And so I came up with, you know, I came up with a couple things on my own, but what I really wanted was something that had never been done before. So I went to my friend Taylor Andes, Jam Customs official, who I've actually done an interview with in Glendale, Arizona, about his, you know, process of designing and stuff. And I told him, I need something new. You know, OCD Meltdown, the name has been around for a while. It's something me and my dad created in the garage, and I was used to make custom diecast trucks myself. So we wanted that to be the name. So I wanted to be friendly, but also, you know, something that catches the eye, but also just all ages would enjoy. So Taylor came back to me with a slime concept, with the slime monsters in a city that's been taken over by this, I guess you would call it radioactive goo. And his drawings were insane. And I was just super excited because it was on the SUV body, which has a lot of surface area to print and kind of have a huge design footprint. And he gave me some packaging layouts, and I sent those over to FCP's design team and the creative services team at Feld Entertainment. And they came back with Taylor's artwork, but in this, you know, the Monster Jam style, I call it. And it just, it went on from there. So we went back and forth with design cues. I really wanted Glow in the Dark to be part of this truck since it was green slime. I love Glow in the Dark stuff. And I really wanted the tires to glow in the dark. And we went back and forth on whether we could do that. And we had to do a couple changes, but in the end, the package is a nighttime theme with this glowing goo, and the truck itself at nighttime glows, its tires glow in the dark with green. And I love that we got the BKT printed in black, because at nighttime you'll see the BKTs glowing and you see the logo. So we got, you know, the sponsorships covered. We got the design cues covered. It has my name on there. They created this cool fan inspired seal with my name. And I guess you would say the rest is history, since that truck is now sold out since 2021. Yeah. And I went on the road going into Anaheim, doing many interviews. Orlando is where I debuted it with famed Monster Jam host Kay Young, yeah, who is one of my best friends. And we had a great time. And it's just been an experience that, you know, it will be something I never forget. And it's still unbelievable when I tell the story over and over again that it even happened. But that's the story of OCD Meltdown in a nutshell, I would say.
Yeah, I was there in Orlando, and I saw you. I was like, who was the kid in the green shirt and the khaki pants? We're going to throw a shot of that up here, because you said that's just, it's just, we're going to let everybody see you in your glory there. Green shirt, khaki pants.
It's show blacks from now on, and, and management apparel.
All right. So that becomes the first fan-created truck in Monster Jam Spin Master history. So a really cool thing for you to go from collecting die-cast trucks to having your own. You didn't stop there. You had a dream. Your dream of working for Monster Jam starts to come to fruition. You become a competition manager. Let's talk about that and your role as a competition manager. Where did that start for you? I know you wanted to work for Phil. When I talked to you the first time, I know that was in the cards for you. You get the opportunity, you ran with it. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so after doing all of the interviews for OCD Meltdown and kind of criticizing myself and you know, making every interview better than the last, I really wanted to actually be what you were and what you are for the TV, you know, side of things, a Monster Jam host. That never came to be, but what eventually fell, you know, kind of out of the sky, like everything else has in this sense of where I've gone and where I'm going, was competition manager. And you know, I wasn't too open to the idea. I was still doing some work in college. I was still trying to finish out my industrial design degree. And at the time, it didn't make sense. But then, you know, I thought about it more and how all these cities that they were offering for the East Coast Arena Tour. I really wanted to do it. So I eventually said yes, went through the hiring process, and then we went to Monster Jam Summit in 2023, got to meet everyone basically that I know today, and got to be with a wonderful team that I dearly miss, since I'm no longer on that team with the new change in my title. So I just had a great time going 19 weeks straight, which adjusting to the road life was, I guess, the toughest part for me, and all the flying and all the airports, because I really hadn't flown much. And now, at the end of that tour, I had flown 125,000 miles. So I've become an airport professional and all that. So just a great time. Competition manager, you know, it's a role that many people don't know exists, but they are in charge of feeding the host stats. They're in charge of running the judgeszone.com scoring process, which is actually more simple than you think it is. And then translating that onto the big screen for the official scores that are saved for posterity and go onto the website and eventually account for an arena series championship, of course, given by the fans, but they are transferred from the fans to the competition manager to the official documentation sourcing. So really cool role, a great stepping stone for anyone that wants to join the Monster Jam team, part of the audiovisual team there, competition manager.
And the competition manager is a live events host best friend, because you're in charge of keeping track of all the scores and the stats and feeding that information to us, a big role there. And I wanted to tell your story here. I wanted to have you on because a lot of fans, some fans want to be drivers, and you took a different route. You start collecting these die-cast trucks and you've worked your way into the company, and now you're a production stage manager, which in essence is second in command on a major series here, which is pretty fascinating. So I wanted to talk about that story. I wish we had time to talk about your current role. I know it's important, and congratulations to you on getting there, but we got to get to these fan questions that is coming up next. Ryan Albin's on the hot seat, and you answered in a big way. I asked you what you wanted me to ask him, and you answered in a big way. That is coming up next on Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. We are back with more Inside Monster Jam powered by Lucas Oil. This week, I am joined on the Great Clips Hotline by Ryan Elman, Spin Master Ambassador, Monster Jam Production Stage Manager. We've talked about your career from a diecast collector now to the production stage manager role. So a heavy jump for you there. And now we're going to get to fan questions. Be a part of the conversation. Follow me on Instagram at ScottJordanMJSX. Let's kick it off with a friend of the show, Phil Vishananza. Wants to say, he actually has a statement here, then a question. I would like to hear the process of an influencer. How much does their opinion really dictate what Spin Master does? Also, how much does community input, such as Facebook groups, affect these decisions? That is a brilliant question, Phil. Thank you, Ryan. The floor is yours.
Only Phil would ask such a deep question. I would say, in the quickest sense, because I really want to get to as many as I can, what you guys suggest definitely gets up the chain. Whether it gets all the way to production or not, that's, you know, it depends on the circumstances, but a lot of what has been suggested by, whether it be you guys or myself, has made it, is in the pipeline, and is probably currently being produced. So you guys have a huge impact. We have a lot of Monster Jam and Spin Master employees in that specific group, even though you may never see them. They're watching, they're asking me, they're screenshotting stuff and asking me if it's a good idea. So it impacts a lot as far as the collector oriented side of things go.
So if the fans want to see an Inside Monster Jam diecast, tag Ryan Albin on Facebook and we'll see what happens there. Xander DP.
Second plug.
Yes, Xander DP is asking, will we ever see a truck design contest for fans for Spin Master? That's a good question. That's fan engagement there. Will fans ever get an opportunity to try and put something together?
I can't speak for that, you know, as the role I'm in, but I would love the idea, you know, to be brought to fruition. I think the Fan Inspired line had a huge potential. Obviously, we're not currently running that line at the moment, but I think there's so many great designs out there, so many great fans and stories, and the ones that you just haven't uncovered yet that could lead to kind of similar to what I've done. So I would love the idea. That's just high above my pay grade there.
All right. Well, Ryan, pleasure talking with you. If you want to see Ryan, get your tickets at MonsterJam.com. Go to Arena Championship Series West. You can get the Spin Master diecast at the merchandise stand. And maybe see Ryan in his busy duties as a PSM. He'll sign one of those for you. Best of luck, man. Great seeing you. And I look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Awesome, Scott. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And as for you, I will see you right here next week with another brand new Inside Monster Jam powered by Lucas Oil.